In thinking of the 15th anniversary of 9/11 coming up this Sunday, we went back to the very first in 2002. We spent the week in New York then, a year after terrorist manned planes crashed into the Pentagon, a field in Pennsylvania, and the World Trade Towers. Jim Gartenberg had been something of a sentry on 9/11, reporting from inside Tower 1 while he was trapped until his voice was stilled. A year later, we visited with Jim's widow, Jill, and their little girl. We start there. Our 2002 visit, and Jim's reporting on WABC News.
On the phone, we have an eyewitness, is that correct?
Yeah, Jim Gartenberg joins us. He was on the 86th floor of, I'm not sure which tower, was it the east, north or south, Jim?
It's the World Trade Center 1, and it's not was. I am here, and I'm stuck right now.
Now, are you above?
My husband's name is James Michael Gartenberg. He went by Jim Gartenberg, and he was on the 86th floor of 1 World Trade Center.
A fire door has trapped us. Debris has fallen around us, and part of the core of the building is blown out.
Jim,
actually, a friend of mine had called me on my cell phone and said, Jill, I just heard Jim on TV, and he sounds great, and he's going to be okay. And I said, he's not going to be okay. I knew he wasn't going to be okay. I knew that he sounded calm and in control because that's just always how he sounded. But I knew what was going on in there, and I had walked out of my office to look downtown, miles downtown, when I saw the smoke and the fire that was coming from those buildings. I couldn't imagine anybody was going to survive that, even if the building didn't collapse, which, of course, then, so.
After Jim died and the tower collapsed, Jill became one of 100 widows expecting a child. In 2002, she was raising 3-year-old Nicole and 6-month-old Jamie, who was born half a year after her father's death.
She's named after my husband, who's James, and right after your daddy, in his honor.
Do you have a sense of what happens now?
Okay, sweetie, I'll get it.
The ice cream. Let's go get the ice cream.
Okay, you know what? Let's leave it like this. What's this?
Do you know what we call these little things where we're from? These little things. You know what we call them? We call them Jimmies.
Who's Jimmy? Our daddy? Is that your daddy? She's too busy eating.
He's still my daddy.
He's still your daddy. That's right. He'll always be your daddy.
Well, and you have that 24 hours a day.
Yes. Every day we talk about daddy and we watch videos about daddy, right? Mm. Nicole loves to watch our wedding video.
Mommy and daddy.
You want to watch it now? The mommy and daddy video with you in it?
Yeah.
Daddy. I had been initially in my office when I got his initial phone call and phone message.
Tuesday, 8:48 a.m.
We played that recorded message in 2002. Jill has asked us not to play it today. It is excruciating. Jim is frightened. There's fire. It's not the brave face he put on for his public TV calls that prompted hundreds to write letters to Jill after he died. It's what Jill heard when they spoke privately that morning. What did you and he get to say to each other that you can...
How much we loved each other and how much he loves my daughter. You know, what do you say? What is there to say? I spoke to him 5 or 6 times. What else is there to say when I know he's not coming back home? And thank you, sweetie. Nicole brought me a tissue. This is where we started a home together. Life has to go on.
Hi, it's Daddy.
Oh, it's Daddy?
On a toy phone.
Yeah, she does that all the time. It's her way of talking to him.
Daddy, hi, Daddy.
Yeah. I'm looking at these letters. This man writes, so calm, so reassuring. I heard him speak of where he was, trapped. I was wondering, could I be half as brave as he was? He left quite an impression.
Mm-hmm. That's right, he did.
Our visit with Jill Gartenberg in 2002, again, her husband Jim, died in the World Trade Towers in 2001. And we've reached Jill today in New Jersey, where she now lives. Jill, we've actually chatted a little before. We sent you that tape so that you could hear it. You told us you bawled. I can't imagine what that's like for you to hear that.
You know, I've done several interviews over the years, but this audio piece really was something, you know, different than anything else I'd remember doing. And it's very emotional because the raw aspect of it, when you hear Nicole as a little girl a year later, still calling her daddy on her toy phone, it's just a very emotional piece.
Oh, well, I mean, it was our privilege to be there. But what happened after that? You were saying life goes on. I mean, we met a woman in your apartment lobby who came up to you and said, you know, you're my hero. Jim was a hero to so many, but you were too for your soldiering on. Was it always soldiering on? Or I'm wondering if there were times when you just felt you couldn't move.
I don't remember a moment I couldn't move. What I remember is right after 9/11, I remember being up all night long, looking at pictures, making new photo albums, just kind of, you know, making the memories last as long as they can last and having proof of that in the beginning. And honestly, you know, I went back to work soon after. I was pregnant. I had a little girl. You know, we had to move on with our life, and that's what Jim would have wanted.
Of course, what made everyone so proud of him was his extraordinary phone calls from the towers to local news. You had very different calls at home. You know, he was frightened. And we're reminded you weren't the only one to hear from a loved one. I can remember the woman who was speaking with her teenage grandchild who was on the plane that we all knew at that point was going to crash in a field in Pennsylvania. You know, it was inevitable. And she stayed on the line with this grandchild as that happened. Are you part of a community still?
Yeah, for better or for worse, I'm definitely part of a community, and my kids are part of a community. My kids are growing up with thousands of other kids who lost a parent that day. And, you know, it was, I would say, a national tragedy. And I think it's important to keep telling the story, especially for the younger generation.
Well, it's funny because, you know, we've chatted in email, and I told you that we have a wonderful colleague. She's 20-something. She went in the archives, found this story for us, listened to it, and turned to me with tears in her eyes and said, I just didn't know. I mean, she knew intellectually about 9/11, of course, but she didn't know until she heard you.
Right, and I appreciate that sentiment. I mean, right now, kids are learning about it in school. It's history to them. It's so hard to kind of explain what we were all feeling that day for those of us who remember.
And I want to know how you are, how your daughters are. You mentioned Nicole. We understand that Jamie, who was born 6 months after 9/11, became the last of the children of the 100 widows who were pregnant to be bat mitzvahed, you know, at the age of 13.
Right. You know, new life with, you know, other life missing a part of the new life. Mm. And, you know, I think Jamie and Nicole are testaments to moving on and, you know, achieving as much as we can achieve, keeping his memory alive, but making him proud, even though he's not here to be with them.
At the time when we spoke, I asked, was this a burden? Because people, they almost needed for you to be well so that they could be well. Complete strangers. Is it ever a burden to be the 9/11 widow?
I wouldn't say it's a burden. I would say that my loss is very public. People have loss and tragedy daily, and it's not public, and people don't always know the anniversary and where they were when that tragedy happened. This one, everybody who remembers that day feels a loss that day and feels the tragedy, and I think, in a way, I find comfort with that. And I wouldn't say look at it as a burden. I think that it's something that we just need to constantly talk about and share with the world what that day was for all of us, not just those of us who had an immediate loss.
And what about your new life? You are now Jill Gartenberg-Pila.
Yes, I remarried 12 years ago. My husband also lost his wife. Not 9/11, but he also lost his wife. And so he knew what loss was. He knew what that kind of loss was. He had two children, and I had two children, and we have four children now. Yeah. And we've made a new home and a new family for them. And I can tell you that our children are happy and, you know, really doing great. I have to say, from the time my now husband and I met, we always said our previous spouses are pulling strings from above.
Well, Jill Gartenberg, now Jill Gartenberg Pila, we wish you and your family a peaceful Sunday, this coming Sunday.
Thank you so much. I appreciate that. I appreciate you reaching out.
I'm on the 86th floor on the east side of the building facing the East River.
And what time did you get?
If I'm on the air, I want to tell anybody that has a family member that may be in the building that the situation is under control for the moment and the danger has not increased. So please, all family members, take it easy.
Jim, one of our producers.
The voice of Jim Gartenberg speaking from the doomed World Trade Center towers on 9/11. By the way, he was scheduled to move the next day to a Midtown office. He died in the tower collapse. We visited his widow, now Jill Gartenberg Pila. It's here and now.